We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good April 15th to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God, and you are listening to the Refresh radio broadcast. It is brought to you by the saints at Merit Assembly of God, as well as partners who have been blessed by this ministry. And if you are one of those who've helped support us financially so that this broadcast can continue, we would just like to start off today by saying a great big thank you to you. It is because of you that this word is going out and touching lives. And so this is the week leading up to Resurrection Sunday. And with that in mind, we would like to start off today by sharing just a few announcements with you. Friday night, as we mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, we will be having our all-night prayer meeting. Begins at 10 p.m., continues until 6 in the morning on Saturday morning. It is our night of honor, and you can tune in to yesterday's broadcast. If you missed it, you can find it on WMIEFM.com, where you can look in the archived section of broadcast and catch that. But I am believing that this is going to be a miracle season for you, that God will take you from the hopeless situation that you might find yourself in to complete and total deliverance. He can take you from poverty to abundance. He can take you from bondage to freedom. He can take you from the land of your captivity. He can cause you to be on your journey to a whole new destination, a land flowing with milk and honey, all in a suddenly moment. Be ready this weekend. This is resurrection season. It is when we celebrate our Savior breaking the power of the enemy in our lives. And so praise God for that. So if you are available Friday night, join us for our night of honor from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. Sunday, as we have been letting you know, we have special resurrection services that day, something for the children at 9:30, Sunday school for the adults at 9:30. We also have children's church at 10:30, a special service for them. I will be preaching a resurrection message on at 10:30 as well. Each of the children are going to be presented with a special presentation of the gospel, as well as some goodies to take home. And then immediately following that, we're going to be having a luncheon with some sandwiches and some sides. We're asking the people of the church, and if you want to join us and want to participate, we would love to have you. I hope that you have already set your mind on that you are going to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday. If you do not have a church, we would love to have you join us. 165 North Grove Street. We're two blocks north of 520. Two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, and we would love to have you join us. We do not have services this Sunday night, so we would love to see you on Sunday morning. Also, a couple of other community announcements. This weekend as well is the 50th Easter Surf Fest in Cocoa Beach, and a number of businesses have come together. There is a Easter egg hunt. There's a Friday night movie. And you can find out more information about those events at EasterSurfFest.com. EasterSurfFest.com, all combined to form one word there. And so there are going to be lots and lots of people in Brevard County. Jesus would be where the people are so that he could show them that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we are praying that there are going to be people who come to watch surfing and they end up getting to meet the one who walks on water. So that is this weekend, the 18th through the 20th, Friday night, I believe, is a movie night. I think the Easter egg hunt, I'm not sure exactly what time that is. the poster I'm looking at here does not quite specify all the details. So check that out. And then another announcement, May the 1st, Thursday night, is going to be the National Day of Prayer. And we are going to be hosted for that event, all of the pastors and churches that wish to participate, at First Baptist Church of Merritt Island, pastored by Titus Green. And so we want to say thank you to them and their congregation. Pray that God blesses each of them, and encourage you to come out and be a partaker of this event. You won't want to miss it. This morning on the broadcast, I want to take you to Luke chapter 9. We're going to be in the 9th chapter of Luke. As you are reading through the Gospel of Luke, there's one little section in here, and you and I, if we're just like going through and reading, we might miss the significance of this, but I believe it is very important in this Passion Week for you and I to focus on what Jesus has to say for us, the example he sets for us here in Luke chapter 9, verse number 51. And it says, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?' But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went to another village." And I'd just like to start off today's broadcast by pointing out verse number 56 there. And that describes everything that is going on in this week. "For the Son of Man," Jesus, "did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Not only did Adam and Eve sin, but each one of us had sinned more than enough. We had violated the Word of God, violated the ordinances of God and the commands of God. And there are some people in our modern society that they are still not wanting to accept the responsibility that God has set the standard, and we are responsible if we have violated his commands. The scripture says that if we have violated in one area, we are guilty of violating the whole thing. There's an old covenant. There's a new covenant. We will talk about covenant in a future broadcast here this week. I believe that's on the Thursday's broadcast. And so you need to understand covenant. The truth about the old covenant is that even when Joshua was in charge of leading the nation of Israel, that he, in the 24th chapter, he said, "Okay, y'all have got to choose today whom you are going to serve, whether it's the idols of the people of this land, whether it's the gods in Egypt, whatever one of those it might be, you've got to decide which one of those you are going to serve. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." And so the people of Israel, they said, "We are going to serve the Lord as well." And Joshua makes a very interesting announcement, and it might be hard for us to admit, but he says, "You can't do it. You and I, we cannot fulfill the requirements of the law in and of ourselves. We needed an advocate. We needed a Savior. And Jesus came to establish a new covenant where he came and fulfilled the law and the prophets. He was our example. He paid the price for our sin. That's what the cross was about. And so he established a new covenant because he doesn't want people to perish. He does not want people to be separated from him for eternity. It is his will that each of us be saved. And so thank God that that is what he did. So here he is. And as you read this, you're going to see that he is in verse number 51. It said, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." So he knew that the cross was before him, and so he set his face resolutely so that he would be on his way to Jerusalem. And that's what I want to ask you today is, are you steadfast in your journey? Do you know that you have a future in the presence of Jesus Christ? Do you know that you have purpose? And have you resolutely set your face on the mission that God has for you? Because Jesus did not end up in Jerusalem on accident. He didn't end up at the wrong place at the wrong time. He set his face to go there. And so I want to encourage you that you and I, we have that responsibility, that we are just not to be like a pinball. We used to have a pinball machine when I was growing up. I remember that was just an over and above Christmas present one year that my parents had for us. And a lot of people go through life and they are like that pinball and they are just bouncing around from one event to another, and they have no direction, no strategy, no purpose. And God does not want you living like that. He's numbered your days. He's ordered your steps. He has a plan and a purpose. In fact, it says that just as Jesus was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, that also there have been works prepared by the Father for you and I to do, that he created for us from the foundations of the world. There's nobody that can take your place. You are a unique creation by God. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit about a resolute journey and having a steadfast. You say, well, I don't know if I really want to do that or not, but I want to take you back to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. Now I'm going to read this out of the New International Version. Numbers, the 22nd chapter. Let me read to you from verse number 24. This is one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. This is where Balaam is talking with his donkey, and it never dawns on him that he's having this verbal conversation with this donkey. He just talks to him, talks to this female donkey, just like he was talking to another person. I think that's absolutely hilarious. Here in verse number 24, it says, "Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between two vineyards with walls on both sides. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it, so he beat her again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and she was angry, and beat her with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, 'What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?' Balaam answered the donkey, 'You have made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now.' The donkey said to Balaam, 'Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?' 'No,' he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn, so he bowed low and fell face down." You've got to listen to this next passage of Scripture, verse 32. "Then the angel of the Lord asked him, 'Why have you beaten your donkey these three times?' 'I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If she had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared her.'" Right in the midst of that passage, it says, "I have come here." The angel of the Lord had come to oppose Balaam because the path he was on was a reckless one. In the New King James Version, it talks that he was on a perverse path, or a path that was not straight. I don't understand everything there is to know about what was going on in Balaam's heart, but I do know this. God says that he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows if we are on the path that he has set before us. He knows if we are setting out resolutely, if we have established that we are going to be on this journey, on the path of righteousness for his namesake. He knows if we are on a reckless path, on a perverse path, or if we are on the straight and narrow path. And today I want to encourage you that this week, if you haven't already done so, don't procrastinate any longer, but say, Jesus, I am going to do exactly as you did, and I am going to set my face, to quote an old-time phrase, set my face like a flint. In other words, I am going to be stone-faced, I am going to be determined, I am going to pursue the path that God has for me. Whether, you know, you can apply this mindset to any goal, any mission that you might have. We've talked about submission here and living under mission. If you have a desire to lose weight, you can establish a mindset that says, you know what? Every day, every meal, every snack, every hour, I am on this mission. I am going to set out. Dave Ramsey talks about getting out of debt and how that there are people who come and they set out on this mission. And sometimes, and we'll talk about this, sometimes what happens to them is what happened to Jesus. And all of a sudden, family members don't understand, why are you doing like that? And Dave Ramsey has this saying, and he says, if you will live like no one else today, you can live like no one else tomorrow. And what he means by that is if you're willing to pay the price and if you're willing to be resolute and achieving that goal of being debt-free, now you will get to live a life of abundance that other people will know nothing about because they did not have a mindset. They were not steadfast in setting to go on the journey. You will not accidentally find yourself on a journey towards God. You have to be deliberate and intentional about it. Now, the reality is when Jesus was coming, he sent his messengers ahead to a village of the Samaritans. And to be honest with you, even though the people of that day did not look favorably upon Samaritans, most of the stories in the scriptures deal favorably with the Samaritans, the Samaritan woman, the Good Samaritan, and the woman at the well. And so here we are, and we find that Jesus says, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, and I want to rest in your village right now. I want to come and visit your village on my journey because I'm getting ready to be received up into heaven. Now, over 2,000 years later, or right at 2,000 years later, what an honor that would be able to be, you know, just, you could say, you know what, we were one of the last stops that Jesus made before he went to the cross. But it said, when they found out that he was on his journey to Jerusalem, they did not want to have him come. It says, but they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And so I want to encourage you, as you begin to adopt this lifestyle of being intentional on achieving the goal and the destiny that God has for you, there are going to be people who do not understand. They're going to stand in opposition. They are not going to be in agreement with you on this journey. My wife and I, when we were, before we were married, there were people who said we would never make it as a couple. And I'm not going to tell you that it is easy. Marriage is a lot of work. You have to put effort, you have to put time, you have to love one another, but you've got to be resolute about this, that God says what God has put together, let no man put asunder. And so, you know, he's the one that established marriage between one man and one woman. And you and I, when God has joined us together, we need to appreciate that and say, you know what? We are going to see this journey all the way to the end. And there might be some people who say, you know what? You're never going to make it. When I was early on in my ministry, there were people who said that we were worthless in the ministry. I understand what it is like to have people sow all sorts of negative seeds into your life. But in the midst of all of that negative seed, I had a pastor who that had been my pastor when I was growing up, and he said, "Do not worry about those seeds. You are going to do just fine." And I just want to thank God for Pastor Jack Ellsworth, a man who was not supposed to live, but instead God healed him miraculously, and he's still alive. He wasn't supposed to get out of the 1960s, and here we are in 2014. He's still alive. He's still a man of God, and I just want to honor him for what he's done. In fact, let me just encourage you. If somebody has taken the time, maybe it was in a business world, I pray that you have a pastor who has sown into you, believes in you, is there to encourage you. But if someone has been there for you, and I know it's supposed to take place with your father and mother, I pray that you'll honor them. Honor them with a phone call. Honor them in a public way, some way. Honor them in a private way. But don't forget those who believed in you. So we're coming up here towards just a few minutes to go in the broadcast. We have a little card, a little business card. And so if you're one of those who've partnered with us, and or maybe you'd just like to carry this around, we made it business card size so people could carry it around in their wallet. We've got six things on this card that we talk about that it takes resolve and setting yourself like an eagle to soar above the storms. You have to have a mindset. You see, the eagle is different from a lot of the other fowl of the air in that whenever a storm comes, most of the other birds, they're looking for a safe haven, and they're looking for a nesting place to where they can ride out the storm. But the eagle is equipped with such a vision system that it can fly not only under the storm, but it will fly up through the storm. It will rise to elevations where it's actually looking down on the storm. And, one of the verses recently that has been just impressed upon me, it said in Psalms, in the 100s to 125s in those chapters, that God humbles himself to look down on the heavens. Can you imagine that? You know, as far as we can see, and, you know, we're just in awe of the creation and the majesty of God, but God actually humbles himself so that he looks down upon that. It's just an amazing concept to me. So let me share with you six truths from God's Word. And this is a little synopsis. I'll give you the verse references. But if you'd like one of these for free, if you'd contact us by email or mail and say, "Would you send me one of these? I've got hundreds of them that I can send to you." And for the first one is in Luke 9:51. "I am resolved to set my face towards becoming a more godly person, in spite of opposition or distraction." Okay. Set your face on becoming a more godly person. Be all you can be for Jesus. And so the second one is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is when Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah were under attack. And it says, let me just turn back there so I can read that to you. This one is a wonderful passage. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and it says, "And it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi.' And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, 'O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to your descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Drop down to verse number 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, and he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, and they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them in the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Let me just tell you, Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah set themselves as a people determined to pray. They were resolved to pray as if their life depended on it, because it did. This year, make a resolution to pray like your life depends on it. The third, out of Psalm 17, I am resolved that my mouth will not sin by bad-mouthing, authority, cursing, lying, gossiping, or complaining. The fourth thing is, I am resolved, this is out of Ephesians 4, 25 through 29, I am resolved to speak the truth in love, to edify, to bless, to proclaim the word of God with thanksgiving. The fifth one is out of 1 Corinthians 2:2 and Philippians 3:10. I am resolved for myself to know Christ, including his crucifixion, the power of the resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. And last one, out of Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8. I am resolved to be holy in my body, soul, spirit, and emotions, even if no one else is. If you would like one of those cards, contact us, and we will be glad to send one out to you at no cost to you. We're just privileged to be able to sow into your life. Can I pray for you this morning? God, today, we want to thank you that this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I pray that every person listening to the sound of my voice would resolve to be on the journey that you have set for them. God, I pray they would be debt-free for your glory and your praise. See you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.